Hey, is your business such a whirlwind right now that you're just kind of making decisions on the fly, what needs to be decided, what needs to happen next, and really not giving yourself the ability, the space, the freedom, the gift of making excellent big decisions? Are you not even taking big swings right now at the metaphorical pitches in your business? Are you not going big? Well, you're going to really like this episode then. This is Commissioned, and I'm Todd Tremonti. This is the podcast where people go from that chaos and the grind and the just hanging on to the freedom and the income and the impact that can come with making great big decisions. Because big decisions have big consequences. When they're made poorly, those consequences can be devastating. When they're made great, when they're made really well, those are the things that have to happen to change your life in the way you want, to get you where you want to go, to get the business, to build the business that supports the life you want to live. And that's what we do here at Commissioned. That's what I'm doing with coaching clients and team members day in and day out. And this episode is actually a recording, very minimal editing other than just to make it concise, from a live event we do called Real Growth Summit. It's a two-day conference we do in Dallas every year for agents, team leaders, and brokers who are growth-minded and want to build businesses of big income and big impact. They want to build businesses that support their dream life, the life they feel called to, the life they feel born to live, to make their unique contribution in the world. Some might call that their dream life. So this is an event that people come for that topic. And this is a keynote that I did, I think it was morning of day two, about how big decisions have big consequences, and about some critical big decisions I've made and critical big decisions that you've got to make to have the big life, the big income, the big impact. Now, we talk a little bit during the episode about some small decisions, some good decisions and bad decisions. One of the overarching themes is a lot of people aren't even making big decisions, good or bad. They're just playing small in the grind. They're playing small in the desperation, or playing small without a plan. So check out the recording of the keynote. Check out this episode. And if we can be of any service to you and helping you put this into your business, click a link somewhere near this video, request a free call with me, and I'll help you get that going in your business. Check it out.
There's a real legitimate cost of indecision. Anybody ever experienced that before? Couldn't pull the trigger, couldn't make your mind up, didn't have enough information, just afraid to make a commitment, and then you got to experience the cost of that. Just sitting in that stuck feeling. The lack of clarity, the confusion, the frustration, the no right choice to make. Kind of plateauing, whether that's relationally or financially, just kind of same level for a really long time. Maybe it has the outward look of success, more money, promotion, better title, more impact, but there's burnout and exhaustion. Maybe you have checked the boxes you wanted to check, but it's not feeling like success to you. It's easy to blame external things. In real estate, you can blame rates. You can blame the economy. Blame the builders. You can blame the big multinational private equity firms. You can blame politics. That's an easy one. But here's the truth, uncomfortable maybe for all of us. Most of us are not thinking big enough, living bold enough, and venturing to make those big decisions that would get us out of the funk. It would truly get us to where we want to go. It may be fear, and there's another one that I didn't put up here, but it may be comfort. It's keeping us from that next big decision. Has anyone ever experienced that before? Like, nothing's really wrong right now. It's that this is good enough, and I'm not willing to risk good enough for what I know deep down I'm capable of. I know deep down I'm called to. I know deep down I really want. But I would rather have what I already have than what I might lose going for the dream. Anybody a Jim Rohn fan in here? Big Jim Rohn fan. Jim Rohn would say, you're going to suffer one of two pains. You are either going to suffer the pain of discipline, the discipline of showing up, putting in the work, making the big decision, potentially failing at times, but showing up, doing the thing, being disciplined, doing the not fun, not sexy, repetitive, gotta do it type stuff. You're either going to suffer that pain or the pain of regret that you didn't do the thing, that you didn't even put in the work to get the thing that is the result of the work. And very astutely, Rohn says, the pain of discipline weighs ounces. It's a moderate inconvenience day to day. And the pain of regret weighs tons. Or maybe there's a better term for that that's even more significant, like a metric ton, like with something just insane, absurdly weighty. And I would imagine in a room this size, the vast majority of us have some regrets. Even though you might say, I don't regret anything because I'm glad that I'm here. But there's some things you wish went differently, right? Those are heavy. Many of us will carry those with us our whole lives. Which one do you want to choose? To put in the work, to make the effort, to dream and go for it, to use all of your gifts and ability to maximize your income and impact in the world, or to stay right where you are, or to avoid the pain of discipline and just wear and carry and drag that pain of regret for the rest of your life. It's a choice we all have. I've made some pretty poor decisions. I'll lead out. Specific to my business in the early days, I decided, and I got to be honest, I did a lot of thinking, planning, and homework, research, and came to a poor conclusion that charging way, way less for what I did and over-delivering on value would be a great business model. It was, in fact, not a great business model. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but it was actually not good for the client. It was certainly not good for me, and it was not good for the people I invited into our brokerage and onto our team to work with us. But it sounded good. It sounded good to say, we're going to do what other people do. We're just going to do it for a lot less, and we'll do a bunch of it, and we'll be the best in the marketplace because the value we deliver for the fee we charge will be incredible. Now, part of making big decisions is being willing to make some poor decisions. I don't actually truly regret that because of what I learned from it. And we'll talk in a minute about the value of making the big decision, even if at times you're not 100% sure. How many times in your life have you been 100% sure about a big decision? For me, it's not many, right? So charging $2,995 to list basically any house you wanted to list was a poor decision for me financially and for my clients, but I learned a lot. Early in our business, I was so afraid of carrying recurring monthly overhead that I waited so long to hire help that it delayed the impact we had, the value to our clients, my sanity, peace of mind, time with family. That was just a bad choice. But it was a big choice I knew I was making. And I would have told you, that's a decision we've made. We're not doing that. We're going to run super, super lean. It was just a poor choice for us. The consequences were not worth it. We did learn from it, though. I had, and to some extent still have, and I'm working through with some of my coaches, this limiting belief that I don't want our team to get beyond a certain size. In the early days, I would say, if I don't know the name of every kid, of every person on our team, we've gotten too big. Now, that sounds like a really great metric, but at some point, it may just be a thing I decided a long time ago that's no longer wise and no longer serves us. I do still know all the kids' names. I occasionally get Grady and Gibson's name mixed up, but that's a different deal. They're both G's. But I limited our team size inappropriately for a long time and limited the impact we could have. And the reality, not only on the client, but on each other, in the amount of impact my wife and I could have on their families and in their homes, It was a poor choice. And we've remedied that. But like I said, I still have some of that instinct that says, whoa, 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 whoa. Not too big. Not too big. So we're working through some of that. This one at the bottom might tick some of you off. Not by accident. In the early days, I said, I only want to work by referral. The only problem with that phrase is the word only. I think that was a bad decision. I think you should get every referral you can possibly get. Start there, do all that you can do to get trust-based introduction, personal referral business. But I think that is a fragile business. And my business was very fragile for many years until we began to layer in additional lead sources, attracting ideal clients instead of either waiting, which is how buy referral only for me felt for a very long time. My sphere of influence was a certain life stage as a general rule. It sort of matched or mirrored mine. And there were seasons where it was great and there were seasons where it was not great. Anybody here who's mostly, if not completely by referral only, feel like that model has forced or caused you to ride some waves where you felt completely out of control about when business came to you, when it was a too much, and when it was not enough. Anyone? Yeah. I'm not saying don't get all the referrals you can get. I'm not saying don't have systems for referrals and for those to be your primary. What I'm saying is when I said that's all, it had painful consequences in my life. Here are just some of the costs. It cost me a lot of time. A lot of those decisions I just listed were wildly inefficient. No staff. That's pretty easy to calculate the things that I wasn't needing to do and our agents were needing to do without help and limiting our ability to sell and care for people. Right? Money. We generated significantly less profit selling homes at a very, very low flat fee, especially when we started to reinvest in adding value to clients but had to hold firm to that model because it was a franchise. That's what we call the real estate PhD. That was just an investment in learning, not in actually making any money. Energy, just the spinning of the wheels of, is this working? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Was this a good choice? When you know it wasn't a good choice, but you keep trying to make it have been a good, anyone been there? Transactions, families, people, past clients, impact, relationships. It cost us those significantly for years and years and years. And then obviously joy, just the satisfaction of knowing that state of confidence in where we were headed wasn't there for a long time because of a lot of those decisions. Here are some of my better decisions, some of the bigger, bold ones that weren't easy, but took a leap of faith, weren't always 100% clear. I had to fire our clear, far and away top salesperson years ago, and it was a hard reset of our company culture. One of the best decisions I've ever made. Very costly financially, but very quickly became clear that it was the right choice and an excellent choice and needed to be done. I hope you never have to do that, but if you do, I hope you do it immediately. I decided to specialize. Now, we specialize in the early days, it was high trust sellers. And what I mean by that, it was sellers who wanted to hire an expert, not just an agent, not just someone to get value, not a sign in the yard, not just someone to show property. We were focused on sellers and we were focused on sellers who wanted expert guidance. That's evolved over time into small acreage or what we call homes on land and the most desirable neighborhoods in DFW. And that doesn't mean the most expensive. It just means the ones that people love to live in, right? So the more and more specialized we get, and if you're in our coaching group, you've heard me say this forever, I was pretty late to that decision, but it's been a great decision. But I could have added to the other list being a generalist, which was a pretty deliberate decision for way too long. Hiring staff. You saw that as a bad choice, not doing it. As soon as we did that, we started to see not only the investment we were making in those people and the impact it had in their lives, but the increase in our production, client satisfaction, vendor partnership revenue, the ability to build a bigger, better, more trust-based brand. All that came with staff. It allowed me to focus on new things. I've been on a 20-year journey of giving my job away. And that's what hiring staff look like. Who here is better at this than me? Who here can take this? Great, then I can go explore new territory for us. We can build more trust, more recognition, more advocacy, more positive affinity in the marketplace. We raised our fees. All commissions are negotiable and not set by law. But we raised them. I told you for sure in the beginning it was, we will sell your home for as low as $2,995. The commission, not the sale price. We charge a little bit more than that now. To be clear, if you were to think that there was a standard fee in this market, which there is not, let's all be clear, Sherman Antitrust Act, there's not one. But if you thought there might be one, we're usually 1.5 times that, if not more than that. That's a long way from as low as $2,995. That was a huge one. I mean, I don't have to explain to you the difference in that and the difference it can make in people's lives and children's lives and churches and schools and ministries and food banks and all those kind of things. And like healthcare and college and cars and home. Like, it's pretty obvious. I don't have to explain it, but then I just did. We raised our fees. Big decision. I had my first admin that we ever hired, I said, her name was Rexanne. Sweet name. I said, Rexanne, I will never charge what all these other agents are charging. And then like 4 months later, I made myself true because we just skipped what everybody else was charging and went from the bottom to pretty much the top. I was like, well, I was still, to be clear, kept my word. She used to want me to write a book called From Flat Fees to Fat Fees. And I was like, who's going to buy that? I don't think that's a good brand, but I like the attitude. All right. Marketing, radio, publishing books, writing my own, publishing books for and with our coaching clients and mastermind members. All of these were like, who am I to do that? Who am I to have a radio show? Who the heck wants to listen to a podcast? Radio ads seem expensive and crazy. What are we talking about? Who would want to read a book from me? Who would want to write a book with us? Who cares if we wrote a book? All of those were big, bold, scary. And I'll just tell you right now, I will confess this to you. I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know why, but I have an innate fear of looking like an idiot. Anybody else? I'll just tell you, mine is it is irrational. I know it. I know that it is excessive. On my way here this morning, I'm thinking, I think today's going to be great, but boy, do I have a lot of opportunity to look like a schmuck. Every time I get up here, I mean, just the audacity for some moron to host this freaking event and think that we're worthy of your attention is both exhilarating and terrifying. Because I could blow it at any instant, and I'm still wildly aware of that. But every one of those decisions is a big, bold decision that leads to what? A big life. A big life is not a perfect life. A big life comes with mistakes. I do blow it sometimes, but I'll tell you what, blowing it on your small, risk little, live little decisions hurts more than blowing it on a going for gold, big decision, going for every freaking bit of it, blowing it. You ever blown it on something big and you're like, man, that sucked, but we're still getting after it. I'm still in the game. One of my top business decisions of all time was hiring coaches. And again, in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to just pay this money and have no idea what happens next. I'm just going to pay for advice. I could buy a book for $20. Been some of the best decisions I've ever made. I've been in coaching from other people with quite a few of you out here. And I've been in coaching for real estate, for marketing, for leadership, things that are not called coaching, but are basically the same thing for marriage, parenting, ministry, discipleship. I went from a kid who like never read the assigned book in my entire formal education. I'm not proud of that, but it is what it is. To like graduating, doing half of a master's degree and deciding I'm finished with formal education. And then like 12 minutes later, transitioning into reading like 3 books a week. I don't know why I'm as ridiculous as I am, but it is what it is. But I went from like, I need to learn all minutes of the day. My kids do not want me to have the remote control. They're like, do we have to learn something? I'm like, listen, you learned something here, right? So one of the greatest decisions I made was learning that I can buy time. You guys know what I mean when I say you can buy time? If Matt's been where I want to go, and I can give Matt $1,000 to shortcut my journey to where he is by a year or 2 years or 5 years, that is the greatest investment of money outside eternal impact that I could make anywhere in my life. You're like, I've been there. I can actually save you like 5 years of beating your head against the wall. Great. There's almost no number that's too high for that. And I was telling you guys yesterday that like 14, 15 years ago, I was in a mastermind that Darcy was helping lead. You guys could tell like my spatial awareness. I'm always pointing to like the last place that person was. Sorry. That's why I was pointing at the chair. One of the greatest decisions I've ever made. Not just coaching from an active coach, but investing in information that would buy me time.
Quick time out, everybody. Don't want to take too much of your time, but if you're liking this, if you're thinking, man, I want to make some bigger decisions. I want to have bigger income, bigger impact. I want to have that dream big life. Click a link near wherever you're catching this audio or video. I'm offering you 15 or 20 minute quick phone call, no charge whatsoever. We'll talk through what it would look like to implement this into your business to build your life right now, no charge. Back to the show.
Okay, for the rest of the day, if we are in a session and you get a review, we're not going to like interrupt speakers and things, but kind of throw up your hand, let us know, or come find me at a break. I want to see if this drives value for you. Because big decisions, this isn't the biggest decision of your life, but this is a small big one, a small bold decision to just stop, decide to do it, follow through, and grow your business. One of my favorite things about social proof marketing or third-party endorsement marketing, which an online, very public profile review is that in theory, it lasts forever. Now, Google could go away or Google could decide to not display reviews anymore or whatever. But we've had a pretty good long run with a free Google profile having massive impact on our business for pretty darn minimal effort. And while you sleep and while you travel and you go to Maui on the raffle prize you won or Pagosa Springs, those reviews are working hard for you. And let me tell you this. Whatever critical mass is in your market, if only 5 or 6 agents have more than 40 reviews, that's critical mass. You need to get above that bar. You need to be in that top tier. Whatever that is in your market, I promise you, that is way easier to achieve than a lot of things you're probably spending time and energy on right now that will have a much lower return for you, that will not work all day and all night, that like will not work in the way that this works, where like 90%+ of people that see your ad, get referred to you, bump into you in open house, are going to go Google you and see this. This is like the first place people check you out. And Gemini will now like summarize it for them. People generally think Susie's awesome. People think Tim is crazy. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think Gemini will say that. It'd be funny to test it. One quick tip on your reviews. What do you want to specialize in? Lake Minnetonka? Did I say it right? Help. Minnetonka. Got it. So how many reviews would you like people to say Dan's awesome and the best in Lake Minnetonka? All of them, right? So remember in the early days of websites, those of us that were kind of there in real estate, and you were like cramming keywords in page. You're like, I want this word on that page 11,000 times. It's not that. It's kind of similar. In those reviews, you want your specialty mentioned right by your name as often as possible. It's wild how simple it is, right? You're like, this is not hard. No one broke a sweat asking for a Google review. She hadn't even sold any houses yet. And then she did a deal at 5 times the market average to start her career, which is honestly a great and really tough way to start, because matching that after that is tough. But we've had this happen 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times on our team where the newest agent is the most compliant, goes out and gets like 40 reviews in their first few weeks, and then all of a sudden is the one that the inbound office phone rings and they're asking for that person, and the rest of the team's like, why are they getting on? They're like, no, no. The people are asking for them. So have them put your name in it. If you're a team, you want the critical mass of all the reviews, but you want your name in it. You want your specialization mentioned and the team mentioned. Ideally, some geographic areas and stuff too. Okay, is that helpful? Anybody get any response to your text at all yet? Probably don't have a published review. Does anybody have published reviews already? That usually takes a little bit. What's that? Say that again. 854. Okay. Thank you so much. We're on our way to 1,000. I don't know how we're going to celebrate 1,000, but it's going to be lit. It's going to be awesome. Lit. Real quick, raise your hand again if you've already had responses just to the text messages. Keep them up if they've been positive. Patrick, did you get a negative response? Okay. He's like, no, I was just changing gears. I was like, oh, shoot, what did we do? Okay. That's okay. You do. So she should create one because it's 2025. But if not, she could leave you a Realtor or a Zillow one that doesn't require the Google login. Yeah, listen. I keep moving. I'm sure she's sweet. Okay. Let's see over the next whatever we have left, 6-7 hours, what happens here. You wanted to do it? The 6-7 thing? The kids' friends are killing me with that. Nora laughed. Okay. How hard was that? But did it take a little nudging for you to do it? Or were you already going to do that this morning during my session? Small, bold decisions. Who thinks that if you start taking more small, bold decisions, you'll build that muscle and be better at making big, bold, life-changing, eternally impactful, wealth-building decisions? Anyone? I do. That's how it's proved out in my life. In our office, one of our core values is success is contagious. Right? People start winning, they want to win more. You're winning, I want to win. Not to beat you, I just want in on the winning. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, just for the recording, Craig said, this is what gets you fired up about showing up at work every day. And last night, somebody was like, how do I stay motivated? And semi-jokingly, Craig was like, go buy a super nice expensive car that makes you show up every day to pay for it. That is a hardcore strategy of some boiler room type sales offices. If it works for you, you do your thing. That doesn't align perfectly with our stewardship conversation from earlier, but it does work. So I could translate that to make big, exciting, bold decisions for your life and then go figure out how to fulfill on that, right? We're gonna travel this summer. I don't know yet exactly how, but we're gonna be gone for X number. We're gonna go this crazy place. We're gonna go see this person. We're gonna have this experience. And that is the magnet that will draw me towards it. Instead of feeling like I've just gotta push myself. No, this exciting, fascinating, enthralling thing is pulling me towards it. That will work with purpose, and in the short term, it will work with adventure, excitement, things, people, places. It's a great point. Okay, is this helpful? We're on the right track? All right. Anybody feel like hesitation has been a limiting factor in your life? Yeah? Yes? For sure. Especially the more responsibility you have, right? I was young and fancy free and I could do whatever the heck. What was the cost? Young and dumb and broke, right? Well, I have kids. I have a business. I have people that depend on me. This is riskier now. I hesitate more. And by the way, sometimes that is wise. But more often than not, the big, bold decision is what leads to the big, awesome life. A lot of times you have all the information you need. You just need a little bit of courage, a little bit of get up and go, and it won't always be perfect, but even the adventure of going and failing and being in the game will drive you to keep going. You feel that? You believe that? So those small, bold decisions create momentum. They build that muscle to go, I've been there before. I know how to handle this. Even if it's not as good as I think it is, I'll make another decision and we'll fix it. I'll make another decision. It might be even better. I know every hand should go up. Let's see how many do go up. That you have made a decision. It has gone wildly differently than you thought and turned out better than you could have ever imagined. Maybe you got fired and that's what led to the better opportunity. Maybe he or she broke up with you and then you realized how completely nuts they really were and that there was a sane person for you in the world, right? And a lot of other versions. We'll stop there. Gibson on our team, I asked the team the other day, just like, hey, let me know some of the biggest bold decisions you've made in your life that worked out great. Gibson was at a financial planning firm, company, whatever, enjoying life. And then it started to feel a little restrictive. They were not real supportive of him living out his faith in the workplace. They were not as supportive of him growing in the way he wanted. So he left. He left pretty abruptly. It wasn't like a throwing chairs situation, but he left not fully knowing what to do next. He got into real estate on his own. And as far as normal metrics go, he was doing pretty dang well for a solo agent year one. So the next bold decision looked really backwards. Successful solo agent year one, joins team, follows systems, plugs in, but in Gibson's words, he would say the alignment about growth, personal and professional, changed his life forever. He would tell you that he's a better husband because of it. He would tell you that he's a better dad because of it. He would tell you that he's a better friend and he's made incredible relationships because of a big, bold, to most people seemingly backwards work decision. And that even though it didn't look that way to most when you go from solo, you know, basically 100% commission to a team structure, that he's got more income and opportunity than ever before. What do your big, bold decisions look like? What do they need to look like? So I'm going to give you a little bit of time again. I want you to write something down. Is there a big decision that you've been putting off that you already know exactly what it is? Or what are some possible big decisions that could get you to the big, awesome life you want that you haven't thought about enough? So I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes to write a few notes, to think critically about that. Stay focused, but make some notes. Is there a big decision you've been putting off? Is there a big decision you haven't given the thought and consideration it deserves? I'll give you a little time. If you're anything like me, when an exercise like this is presented to you, every fiber in my being wants to check out. I'm going to strongly encourage you not to do that. Where else are you going to stop, get out of the grind, and work on your business or on your life or on yourself instead of in the hustle and do something like this? If at the end this is silly and useless, throw it away. But give yourself the next few minutes to think critically about a big decision that you've been putting off or a big decision that you haven't thought enough about. I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. This is a gift to you. When we do this in our team meetings for our team, I say, I've bought you this time. You committed to this time, and I'm giving it back to you to think critically about who you want to be, what you want to achieve, how you want to use your gifts and abilities in the world. So I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. I'm challenging you to stay focused and do this for yourself. This is not for me. I'm sure you've read these additional questions, but what does your family's future look like if you begin to choose more boldly? What do you provide for your kids? Whose life can you make more significant? more purposeful, more safe, more expansive. What are you settling for right now that in 10 years you're going to look back on and really regret? Or at a minimum, wish you had taken more action on. Wish you had thought bigger about. Wish you had actually risked it a little bit more. It may not even be work-related, by the way. Grady did a good job earlier of talking about how our work touches a lot of things and we get access to a lot of real life, ours and clients. So our work touches most things. But what might you look back on in 10 years and go, gosh, I wish I had just at least tried. I wish I had gone for it. Wish I had thought bigger, fought against blending in. One of our other company core values is fight the urge to fall in, phone it in, or blend it. So hopefully you've got some notes on a big decision or potential big, bold decisions that will lead to a bigger, bolder life for you. It's very rare that you get the time to slow down, get clear, and give your future self the gift of these notes. When you get back to the house, back to the office, and you're thinking about implementation, and before we wrap up today, I'll try to give you a couple of easy, simple tools to nudge you towards taking action on the things you've written down, the things you've liked, the nuggets you've taken away. But give yourself this gift that later you can trust yourself that was in this moment. I got really clear. I got really convicted. I got really excited. When you get home and the crazy comes back and the pace of the life picks up again, you're like, I don't know. Trust yourself now. Terry made me say it last night, asked me to say it, and it's been referenced, I think, 3 times already today. The idea of leading yourself well. Devoting daily, withdrawing weekly, migrating monthly, and abandoning annually. This is the stuff you use in those moments. When I was clear, when I was devoting, withdrawing, migrating, and abandoning, and I had time to focus and dig deep and get clear, I set myself up for success when I re-entered the hustle or the grind. There's a really good book. Calls it The Whirl. I step back into the whirl, just the stuff flying everywhere. But in that, I look at my schedule, I look at my plan, and I just follow it. And I trust myself a week ago. I trust myself from this morning. I trust myself from that last quarterly getaway. I trust my annual planning self when I got away, slowed down, and got clear. I don't trust myself as much when I'm like hungry and in a hurry and have to make a quick decision. Like, I don't know. Make a call. But when I get to go, no, that's true to the plan that I made when I was making great decisions, then I can stay on task and go, and follow the schedule, follow the plan, and stack up wins and stack up good days and stack up momentum and stack up progress and get to experience the joy of an incredible, big, bold life.
Or you leave it in the drawer and you don't take it home and it doesn't translate to daily activity, I don't know if it's a complete waste, but it's a misuse of the opportunity for sure. We talked about this already, but I do think it's worth mentioning again. Even if you fail in the big decisions, the feedback you get from failing for something great gives you energy
and even joy, right? I could quote scripture here, but I'll just use logic. If I'm going to fail, I would rather fail trying to do something awesome because I'm going to fail. Everybody knows that, right? Like you're just not going to get it all right. So even trying to get it all right, playing it safe won't work. like that in and of itself is a really bad plan. I'm not going to risk much. I'm just going to make some super safe decisions. But I also know that I won't even make all of those right. Let's make some big, exciting, go for income, go for impact, go for an amazing life that inspires others. And even when we get some of those things wrong, there will be excitement and feedback and energy and joy. And it, like we already said, it might lead to something even better. Success has this fascinating ability to unlock more of us. It's not about greed and hustle culture and the need for just more, 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 more. But when you prove to yourself that you can, what do you usually do next? Anyone? You go for the next thing. You go for more. You level up. You recognize you're capable of more. You can help more people. Not just buyers and sellers, but also buyers and sellers, team members, agents, children in need, animals, wildlife, you know, the ecosystem, whatever you're passionate about. You unlock this new level of capability and confidence and impact, and it starts to unlock those same things in others. Your children, your team, your staff, your neighbors, all the people that are watching that you don't know about. You know they're watching, right? Because you're leaders, because you're here. You're the kind of people that do things like this. The world is watching. And you have the ability, even in failure, to change the world. It unlocks creativity, impact, freedom, adventure. I tell my kids all the time, especially my daughters, about faith, about business, about family, that life is supposed to be an adventure. It will not be safe and clean and simple. That's not an option. Go for the adventure. I say the adventure of life with Christ, the adventure of great experiences, the adventure of deep relationships, which will hurt you at times. But it should be an adventure. And even failing on occasion with big, bold decisions will lead to great adventure. Okay. Final couple of minutes. I've said it 72 times already, but big decisions are where big lives come from. There's only really one other way you have a big, awesome, incredible life, and that's luck. Raise your hand if you want to rest on sheer luck. Like, I won't be mad if I, like, find $1 billion and, like, everybody wants to listen to what I have to say, but I'm not counting on it. I mean, it would probably need to be like a check, right? It would be hard to, there's gonna be a large quantity of dollars. I'm just going to challenge you right now, and then I'm going to give you a couple more minutes to look at your notes and think about this. Do not leave this place without at least one big, bold decision made or planned to make. Your big, bold decision might be making a phone call and reconciling a relationship that's been damaged for a long time. I'm not even saying it needs to be real estate. It might be making a hire that scares you. It might be connecting with someone here and committing to role play once a week. That's not that big, but it may feel big and bold to you. It may be joining Mastermind. It may be hiring some other coach. Make a big, bold decision today. Now, I'm not trying to force you to do something like crazy and damaging. I'm saying you choose. What's the right one for you? But don't leave here without choosing one. Let this be a pivotal moment in your life. And just remember, you're going to suffer one of two pains. The pain of discipline, and this is a discipline, by the way. That's the connection. Making big decisions, disciplining yourself to face the discomfort, the fear, the anxiety, the excitement of it, and doing it anyway is a discipline. You'll suffer one of two pains. The pain of discipline, which weighs ounces, or the pain of regret, which weighs tons. This sounds like one of these crazy, ominous, exaggerated statements, but your future actually and literally depends on your decision making. You can have the future that you were just already on track for, or you can change it right now, today, later today, before you leave, by making a big, bold commitment for something. I'm not even telling you what. And then you can say, you don't have to remember me or special agent or the AC not working. Don't remember that. Erase that. You don't have to remember any of that. Just remember, I went to Dallas and I made a huge decision in my life and never the same again.
Hey, I'm hoping by now you're fired up. Just want to take a few short seconds to offer you 15 or 20 minutes of my time at no charge just to talk through what would it look like to implement this into your business. If we can help you grow or implement anything else, that's fine too. But if you're thinking, man, I want to play bigger. I want to dream bigger. I want to live bigger. I want to give bigger. I want to have more impact. I want to have a great life. I want more freedom. Let's talk about that. No charge, 15 to 20 minutes on me. Click the link. Back to the show.
Okay. This is going to be the accidental line of the event. Devote daily, withdraw weekly, migrate monthly, and abandon annually. And all that really means, it's a cadence of self-leadership. It could be a cadence of business planning, but I think you got to lead yourself before you can lead your business. It's an ever-progressing amount of time, focus, and attention to building the business and life you want. So every day, that might be 30 minutes. To start your day or end your day. I would suggest start, but you do you. Every week, a couple of hours. Every month, half a day to a day. Ideally, every quarter, you go a day and a half, couple days, whatever you can. And then at least once a year, we're talking like retreat. Get away for a couple of days. Dig really, really deep because you're going to make some big decisions, big adjustments, big revisions, big commitments. And like I was just saying a minute ago, for the rest of the year, you'll reevaluate it quarterly, you'll revisit it monthly, you'll check it daily, but you want to be able to trust the decisions that were made in that big annual commitment, the big quarterly recommitment. So give it the time and focus and intention and have the tools and resources you need to make those decisions or the people so that in the hustle, you can remain committed to the commitment because you trust the version of you that was there making the big commitment. Does that make sense? Okay. Anybody get any reviews yet? Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anybody get multiple? 7? You got multiple? 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 Come on, y'all. Keep me posted all day long as those things are happening. You are growing your business right now in real time. Thank you for your time, everybody.
All right, so hey, I hope that was super valuable for you. It was great in person, just so you know. We had about 100 people in the room and 20 or 30 people that were there sponsoring and hanging out. And so it was a jam-packed room. People really, really enjoyed the content. I'm not saying I was brilliant. I'm saying it was relevant to the people in that time. And I really think it's relevant to you, no matter where you are in your real estate career. Most of our audience and listeners are successful solo agents or solo with help or growing team leaders or small to mid-sized brokerages that want growth in both income and impact. And so if that landed for you, click a link somewhere near here, request some time. Let's talk about implementing that for you. And if that's not the stage your business is in right now, check out some of the other episodes here on the podcast that could serve you, because it's my goal that we add value in your life. When you spend time with us, I want to make sure that that helps propel you forward to doing more of what you were put here on earth to do. And I want you to have fun doing it. So, hey, we'll catch you on the next show.